Welcome to Dissecting the 80s. I am one half of the mega podcasting powers, Trip Lano. With me, as always, a man who's recently taken to wearing baseball caps, but I'm not sure if he knows that if he turns the hat around, it's like a trigger. The Macho Mandrew.
Andrew Lano. And the first time he flipped the hat around, it was like suspenders, white t-shirt, backwards cap, and I was like, this is definitely an outfit I want to take.
We, of course, are talking about 1987's arm wrestling drama, Over the Top. So you know what that means.
We gotta go back, Marty. We gotta go dissect the 80s. It's your grandfather, Marty. Something's gonna be done about your grandfather.
When the mega powers explode.
I'm talking about the 80s.
Great Scott.
Cream of the crop. Oh, yeah.
Mega powers, yeah!
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious shit.
I think Wikipedia classifies it as an action drama film. A sports action drama.
That's a lot of qualifiers.
Yeah, right?
Were you familiar with this at all before I suggested we watch it for the show?
Other than that, you said it was about arm wrestling now.
Kind of knew of this one, but I'd never seen it, and I was really looking forward to it because, like, obviously this has to be the dumbest, most entertaining thing on earth, right? It's about arm wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I was confused because, like, BMX Bandits came out of a blossoming of BMX riding being a thing and, like, the boom of, you know, this is a cool thing, let's make a movie about it. Arm wrestling wasn't, like, a cool thing everyone did,
not
right?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, there was, like, an AMC show about a year or two ago about arm wrestling that was kind of weird.
There was?
Yeah, it was called Arms Race or something stupid like that. Some pun title.
Oh my god, that is the best name for it.
Yeah, and it was about guys who were, like, ridiculously jacked, but do you remember...
In one arm?
Some of them, yes. That was the joke I was getting to. What was that stupid movie you and Mom liked? M. Night Shyamalan?
Oh, Lady.
That's
the
one. There are some people who are, like, exclusively a right arm or left arm wrestler, and their arm is significantly larger than the other.
It's like that Skittles commercial or Starburst commercial where the whole town is one arm.
Yes, exactly.
Even the baby.
Anyway, that's a long-winded way of saying that I was hoping this movie would be more entertaining than it was.
That was a sharp and take of breath.
So we start out with beautiful, beautiful scenery. America, the heartland, green, rolling hills, some crazy over-the-top score. And then a very, 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 very sweaty Sylvester Stallone behind the wheel of a truck.
Like, throwback to...
Rocky IV?
No. Throwback to Vibes, when I was expecting a much crazier intro segment. I was expecting, you know, over the top! Gotta go over the top!
New segment, you have to make up a theme song for every movie we do.
Spoiler alert, they're all going to be that tune.
Can somebody out there cut that to be a real song? Oh, that would be the best. If you cut that to a real song, I will send you a gift.
Like the Kimmy Schmidt theme song? Is it one of those?
No, like I want someone to take your vocals and put like a piano track version of that and make it a song and just write some lyrics.
Spoiler, it's always going to be that tune.
The
whale's got to go home!
The what now?
The whale's got to go home! The shark wants her, baby!
Star Trek 4 and Jaws 4? Or is that 3?
3D.
No, that's right. 3D had the baby. So, if you want to explore the back catalog to put the song with the film there. So yeah, he's real sweaty, like uncomfortably sweaty.
Generally, this movie is about as sweaty as No Holds Barred, which I don't know if we're referencing anymore in light of Hulk Hogan.
So I think we can talk about it. We have to make a disclaimer. When we did that episode, we knew he was like an old fart. We didn't know he was a racist shitheel.
Yeah. Yeah, it hadn't come out like till late that how awful he
right.
was.
Like there's a level of assumption you can make about people who grew up in certain areas and from a certain time, but it's crappy to assume they have a terrible view of things. So I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and then he just squashed it all of that. So
Well, I'm more pissed that I spent the time to hand paint lettering of Hulkamania, hand cut my shirt, and then like 3 weeks later, it's like Hulk Hogan's a racist. So I was like, well, okay. Guess I'm never wearing this shirt.
I had that whole Halloween costume that I purchased for $8 on clearance from the internet.
I spent more than that on my shirt.
Yeah, I had a whole lovely Halloween costume, and a friend of mine had this brilliant idea that 1 year for his birthday, he wanted to, it's Chris, by the way, wanted to do a bar crawl that was everyone dressed like Hulk Hogan.
I do like, I heard yeah, you mention that to
I
me.
Think that's,
it sounds
that's
amazing.
Hysterical, like 25 people coming into a bar in the ketchup and mustard era Hulk Hogan, and now, never, because he's a racist shit heel.
I mean, it could be, you could all do Macho Man.
Yeah, but that's a lot more difficult to put together. That's the thing. You can only celebrate dead celebrities now because they can't say racist things in hindsight.
This is true.
Everybody I think is cool just continuously is like, oh, by the way, racist things. What? Go, stop it! Michael Caine.
It's like when...
Looking
it's like,
right at you, Michael
I know!
Caine,
it's like when the Oscars...
Squarely in your
it's like when the Oscars were
direction.
Like... The Oscars were like, Oscar's so white, and all the old white actors were like, oh, but hang on. And we were like, please don't speak. Please just be quiet.
Take a Jaws 4 stance on this. Jaws 4 stance.
No.
It's all okay now. Shh. There you go. Drink your tea. Have a biscuit. It's all going to be fine.
Have a scone.
It's all fine. Anyway, back to Stallone driving in this giant truck, which is, I think, carrying...
A pool of sweat.
I think it also has, like, his cargo, I'm pretty sure, is another truck.
It looks
like it.
It's like
a truckception we have going on here.
And we're also getting intercut with shots of a military academy of some kind doing graduation. Yeah. But it looks like military elementary
it
school
It really
graduation.
Does. Like, when the in TV, when kids are bad, they get threatened to get sent to military school, this is the place.
Skipping ahead, they all look really young to be in these full dress blues.
Yeah, it is kind of a strange thing. And then Sly is like, clearly the editing of this is like, okay, he's going to that event. And he pulls into a truck, like a wash, for like truckers to wash their trucks. And he proceeds to wash the truck and then wash himself with the same piece of equipment.
But here's the thing, in Maximum Overdrive, the showers were, like, it was better than this hovel. So clearly, truck stops weren't that gross.
I'm not even talking about the truck stops that's gross. He doesn't even go to a truck stop shower. He takes the thing that he's scrubbing his truck with and, like, rubs it on his armpit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't click that the car.
It's like literally he...
I didn't click that he was...
Literally, he washes himself in a car wash.
Oh, it's Teen Witch.
Yeah, except this is not the aggressive spinny brushes and hot wax. But still, rather stupid. He also was sporting some great Stallone stubble, which is a good look for him. I think Stallone should be more stubbly in more things.
I mean, it's. I don't think you're doing much at this point. You're basically throwing...
Expendables 48?
Yeah, I know he's alive and doing things.
I haven't seen them, but I have heard that people like them.
He is technically alive, but
Rocky VI is supposed to be wonderful. He got nominated for an Academy Award this year. I think you're...
You mean Creed?
Yeah, Rocky VI.
It's called
it's Rocky
Creed.
Six. Wait, Rocky VII. Rocky VII!
I thought V was the one that was called Rocky.
Rocky V is the one where he fights the guy in the street at the end. And then Rocky VI is the comeback movie when I was in college. And then 10 years after that...
Oh, Balboa.
Yeah, Rocky Balboa. And then Rocky VII is called Creed.
I mean,
he got nominated for an Oscar. Creed. Can we not shit on the man who got nominated for an Oscar 40 years after the fact?
Yeah, but it feels like it was one of those Oscars because you should be nominated.
I haven't seen it yet. It's coming to me at the library very soon. But from what I hear, it's astoundingly good.
The movie, but
no, people
talked
about Stallone like people were crying. Yeah,
really? I don't believe that.
Well, I'm just telling you what I heard. Anyway,
like that man. Like, is unintelligible.
Yeah, but he's playing, like, a very old boxer. They are unintelligible. Have you seen Muhammad Ali lately?
No.
Well, he can't even speak anymore. That's not a career that does good for your brain.
I mean, obviously.
Who would have known that getting hit in the head repeatedly...
Getting punched in the face a lot. Well, Stallone also wrote this damn movie.
Yeah, I know. because he's a master of screenwriting.
Rocky was lightning in a bottle, dude. Rocky was lightning in a bottle.
I'm pretty sure he wrote, I don't know if he wrote all of them, but he wrote some of the Rambos.
He looks like a Stretch Armstrong that you left out in the sun too long.
He also wrote a movie that came out like 3 years ago.
Predator.
No, not Predator. Jason Statham was in it, and it was like clearly a movie that Stallone wrote for himself when he was 28, and then he just like didn't do it, mm-hmm. and now he's too old for it. And so instead of doing this,
was it Crank?
No. It was like Homestead or Homefront.
It's not. It doesn't star Mandy Patinkin and Claire Danes.
Homefront, maybe.
that's what it is. Sly Stallone is a writer and a showrunner for Homeland.
Brody. I don't know anything else about Homeland. That's the extent of the jokes I can make about Homeland. Drugs or something.
I've got Claire Danes' cry face.
I think
you gotta go to the bomb.
Something about the Middle East, I think, or something. That's all I got.
Someone gets killed, maybe.
Anyway, so Sweaty Stallone washes himself at a truck stop with the brush intended to wash a truck, which has to be disgusting. Ugh. And then he pulls into the military academy and parallel parks his truck as if it was a smart car.
I hate how casually they talk about car. They like you can't treat the truck this casually because it is a truck. It is a semi truck. They're not that common. Not everyone has them. They're not a prize you give away in a contest.
You're getting ahead of yourself. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert there. But he does parallel park it as if it was a kid with a bicycle. I mean, I've never parallel parked a car this easily in my life. And I'm a pretty good parallel parker, I like to say.
I mean, at 24, I still give the keys to someone else to parallel park my car.
That's sad.
And I have backup beeps. I have someone is driving nearby me beeps, and I have a backup camera. And I still am like, hey, do you want to maybe get out and help? And then I do it for 3 minutes, and I feel judged. I'm like, you need to do this right now.
That's really sad. You should practice. Get some cones.
I don't live in a city. I don't live in a city.
I didn't live in a city until recently. It's still good practice. Anyway, also, from the corrections department, which it means I wrote this down 3 weeks ago when I watched this movie, it's not written by Stallone. This is written by Sterling Siliphant, who wrote one of our favorites.
And Stallone.
Oh, both?
Yeah, they're both there. That's why I wrote it down.
Well, Mr. Siliphant wrote one of our favorites, The Poseidon Adventure.
I do love The Poseidon Adventure.
Plus, The Towering Inferno, which stars every celebrity from like 1960 to 1979. And...
Was it like the equivalent of the like Mother's Day?
I think so, except it's about a building fire.
Mother's Day movie.
Like there's danger. Steve McQueen's in there with an axe. I think O.J. Simpson is in it.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps most importantly, the Mickey Mouse Club.
Stop that.
Real thing.
That's awesome. I like that. That's a fun fact.
I'm bringing information and facts on this podcast for the first time in 40 episodes. So
I just want to watch The Poseidon Adventure.
We watched that, 15 years ago, one night with Dad, I think, and I've loved it ever since.
Uh-huh.
Like we came into a part. Yeah, where same. Yeah, it was just the three of us. I don't know where Mom was. She was doing her thing, like that Onion article.
Yeah, Mom was doing her thing.
Yeah, Dad popped it on, and it's not at all the kind of movie I would expect him to be into. It's not really what he tends to go for.
No.
And we watched The Poseidon Adventure. We were all like, he had probably seen it before, but the two of us were like riveted by this 30-year-old movie.
I think it was the Christmas tree scene.
Yeah, where they climb up it.
I think we were at... Yeah, we just got to there where like some people are like, we're not going to climb the tree. And then all of a sudden it starts flooding.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because we were like, what the hell are we watching? Well, it's a bunch of funny ditties in suits. And he kept being like, just wait. And then that cool stuff happens.
Yeah, because I was like, I was really young. So I was confused as to why the tables were on the ceiling and how the physics confused the hell out of me as a child.
Right, because cruise ships bolt their things down for such an occasion. Except that they don't in real life, because if you ever seen a picture of a cruise ship in turbulent seas, there's just shit everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've talked about not this movie for two-thirds of what we've done so far, but
here's the thing. You can't mention a great movie, like The Poseidon Adventure. You can't just, like, toss it in there. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, you know, Forrest Gump happened anyways. Like, You can't talk about a good movie and not expect a couple words about it.
Anyway, so he comes to the military academy. Thankfully, there are no military bullets.
No, I mean they're in the safe. You know they're yeah, there, like in the glass in, case.
They're on the campus. It's a military operation. Mm-hmm. There are military bullets, but mercifully, nobody is threatening to strangle anybody with any military bullets.
No.
See episode one? Is it all the way back? That
two, one or two?
I think it's episode one. One or yeah, two? Yeah. Girls just want to have fun.
No military bullets. So I
go ahead. I'm laughing at referencing my own joke from 2 years ago. This is a shameful place to be in my life.
Oh God, I'm not going into a quarter life crisis very well. I don't understand why it had to be a military school.
I think the point was just it's the most logical way for the kid to be at a boarding school.
My thought was because explain without leading to it. The grandfather is a rich dude,
right.
like oh, you gotta believe, right, right. Like what, Mr. Bottom yeah. Tooth in The Family Guy. In The Family Guy, got it.
you know, in The Family Guy,
The Family Guy.
On the grandfather on the Twitters, is essentially. I pinned a thing on the Facebook. Wait, am I getting my things crossed up?
Yes, I wall posted you.
Watch out for my poke.
The grandfather of a little boy of Stallone's son is like a fuddy daddy, right. Like
very rich. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wanted it to be a boarding school that's like all boat shoes and shoulder sweaters.
I think that would be pretty cool. But what I
because the military thing never came up again. Like, they never talked about, like, his discipline was never a thing. Like, I'm really disciplined and you're not. Like, that never came up again.
The only reason for it, from the standpoint of the movie, is Stallone kind of lives a wild bohemian lifestyle. And the kid's got this, like, straight-laced military, like, he doesn't like his food to touch on the plate and all that stuff. Right? I'm not making that up, am I?
I don't think, no, he's specific about what he eats. Like, he's good, he's big and
nutritious. Yeah, so I think that's the point of the military school, is to establish, like, he's a very straight-laced, dorky monster kid versus, like, Stallone is a hippie type, even though he's a truck driver, which isn't typically, like, hippie mm-hmm. type, but he's in that kind of bohemian, traveling around the country, sleeping in his truck lifestyle. But you're right, it's mm-hmm. not set up in a way that really pays off, but I think it's just supposed to be a little bit of character-fleshed stuff.
Yeah, that's why I was hoping it was, like Lord Farthington's finishing school.
Right. I totally would be fine with all about boat shoes kid. I think that'd be funnier, actually.
Because that's the character they paint him to be. He's very much like, my estate. And like, oh, this car is a hovel. We're not flying.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, I'm confused why you're in the military. Because you talk like a kid I want to punch in the face.
You want to punch most kids in the face.
I work for Disney.
We should also mention Grandpa is played by National Treasure, rest in peace,
Robert Loggia.
Pour one out for our dearly departed homie. Swig a whiskey for the Loggster.
Well, I hear his name, and all I think about is that the one dumb Family Guy joke. R, as in Robert Loggia. O, as in, oh my God, there's Robert Loggia.
Yes.
Every time.
It's one of those, like, that's so stupid, but the commitment to the bit is what makes it. It's like a 10-to-1 sketch on SNL, like the late night weird stuff. I also love that bit. So the kid and him are in the truck, and he's like trying to explain.
Because
I just
want to
warn everybody.
The mom wanted him.
Oh, go ahead.
The mom recalled and requested that Stallone pick the boy up instead of having him fly back, because she wanted them to get to know each other, and like didn't tell the grandpa, because the grandpa clearly hates Stallone and clearly drove him away and clearly thinks he's beneath him.
And I think the mom also was aware, like, she's probably not going to make it, so she's trying to get him to have a relationship with his father and all that stuff. That's the subtext there.
Catch that.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the whole point of this movie, is, like, she orchestrates this reason for them to become, you know, familial.
Didn't catch that.
And I just have to say, as a word of warning, I've already done it a couple times. He's done it once. There is going to be, like, a whole lot of bad Sylvester Stallone impressions for the rest of this podcast, so I'm not sorry about it.
Oh, yeah.
But you're going to get a lot of it.
Get on board or get out.
I'm sorry if it bothers you, but what did you expect? You saw the title.
I feel like you need to release this podcast twice. Like, once with all of them in, and then once again with, like, a redubbing.
Out. Oh, redub it?
Yeah. Or, like, do like redub with a robot voice. Like, did someone die in here?
Hey, you know, someone died in here.
So, the kid, for some reason, like, gets out of the truck and runs across a 12-lane highway.
Yeah, so, so he's trying to get information out of his dad, like, who the hell, like, the kid, we haven't seen each other.
I don't mean to jump on you, but it appears like they have never met.
That's fine. That's what I was saying. They've never met. And Stallone is like, because he's like, how did you get these pictures of me in your cab? And Stallone says, your mom sent them to me, we've been writing for a while. And he's like, well, you never wrote me. And Stallone, genuinely confused, is like, what are you talking about? I've been writing to you every year on your birthday and Christmas and other holidays. And the kid's response is to say, pull over, and then Frogger his way across a highway.
To which Stallone, like, has to spin the cap around and Frogger behind him, finally catch up to him and, like, tackle him in the weeds on the side of the highway.
Rip his sleeve off.
What are you doing? And the kid just, like, I don't know what his game plan there was, but it didn't seem good.
He cried and said, I hate you. And so Stallone brought him back and was like, sorry about your jacket. And the kid goes, you'll get the bill. No, he won't, you piece of shit. That was your fault.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of on you when you hop out of the moving vehicle and run across a highway.
Like a busy highway. Right. He caused accidents.
So they get to a diner, and the kid has, as you alluded to before, really strange food preferences for a 6 or 10 or whatever year old he is. 10?
He also 12? Calls them...
What, can we pick a number?
11. I think he's okay. 11. The diner waitress also, he calls her, he says, no thank you, ma'am, or nice to meet you, ma'am. And she's like, ma'am, I like that. And I was like, who, what woman likes being called ma'am?
I think it's probably the first, I mean, given that it was the 80s and she worked at a truck stop diner, it's probably the first time someone's been respectful to her in 30 years.
I guess, but like, ma'am is, because ma'am is what I use in, ma'am was my secret weapon in Disney to make rich entitled white ladies shut up real quick.
Well, maybe that didn't become a mean term until, like, lately.
Oh, maybe.
Like, maybe it was. Maybe it still had some cachet of respect. And
respect.
Yeah. But, yeah, she totally is like, I'm going to give you extra French fries. Even though he tried to order, like, a half a cantaloupe with, or have a cantaloupe with cottage cheese or something ridiculous. And Stallone was like,
well, because Stallone's like, steak. And he goes, you're going to die of cholesterol. And Stallone's like, chicken. And she goes, fried chicken. And the kid's like, no, tuna on toast.
And
you're like, okay, weirdo kid.
And so Stallone, of course, is like, oh, I love the fish too, I guess. And then somehow arm wrestling guy comes up to him out of nowhere and starts talking to Stallone really aggressively.
Yeah. Like, it feels like they've never met.
Right. They don't seem to be friends, except they definitely seem to know each other after, like, 4 seconds of dialogue, because the guy's ready to punch Stallone out of his chair.
Yeah.
And they decide to arm wrestle in the back of this diner.
Sure.
And it's sure, where we finally... Oh, by the way.
Because the whole diner's into it. The whole diner's into it.
It's as if, like, not to bring up horrible shitheel monster again, but it's as if 1985 Macho Man and 1985 Hulk Hogan started a fight in the middle of a bar in, like, the deep south where they weren't sure wrestling was fake yet. Like, that's the response that it got. And we haven't mentioned this yet, which is kind of a tragedy for being half an hour into this discussion, but Stallone's name is Hudson Hawk, right? No. Lincoln Hawk. Hudson Hawk is that terrible Bruce
Willis
movie.
Which sounds, Lincoln Hawk is either like a really bad male stripper name or a car.
Now coming to the stage, Lincoln Hawk.
The brand new 2016 Lincoln Hawk. Ah! Now with heated seats.
Ah! It's the hawk flying across the ad. Majestically across the car. Well, I just wanted to make sure. We're creating a theater of the mind, Andrew. This is an audio podcast. People can't see me gesturing like a bird.
Now with heated seats.
And just like the hood is like a Thunderbird, but instead it's just like a giant hawk wingspan.
Yeah, exactly.
So this...
Or it's a beak.
The front of the car is just like an angry beak. Yeah. I'm into it.
Yeah.
This is where we first see Hawk's big move of he turns his hat around backwards and suddenly he has superpowers.
Yeah, basically.
And
I have the power to arm wrestle.
And it's funny, I've heard other people talk about this, so I don't want to belabor a point that I've heard other people have a discussion about, but it's amazing how different 80s jacked was to current jacked.
Oh my god. It's bananas, night and
because
day.
Because Stallone is definitely in, like, I mean, he's not bodybuilder shape for the time, but he's in tip-top shape for this time frame. And he, if you put him next to, like, Chris Pratt, who's, like, on the scale of the Marvel guys, like, toward the or maybe Mark Ruffalo.
He's no Hemsworth or right. Evans.
But if you put
Pratt, yeah. Like Hemsworth is the top, then Evans, then Pratt. Yeah.
So if you put him next to those guys, he would look like your friend's slightly in shape dad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so bizarre that that's how things work now.
Like, you have to be disgustingly in shape to be, you know, playing an action hero these days. And that's not what they looked like back then.
No, it's sort of, I mean, and then if you go back even further in like the, because when was men who had sort of a barrel chest, but it was all muscly?
Like 40s like, era bodybuilder like, guys, you mean?
No, like Star Trek.
Oh, that was like 60s.
Yeah, in the 60s, like he wasn't like shredded, but he clearly had muscle, but he had a belly.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a.
Like, it's weird. This progression is weird.
I mean, when Chris Pratt and those guys are doing those movies, they probably have 2% body fat. I mean, they're like unhealthily jacked.
If
yeah,
that.
And they're all. If that. I don't want to throw disparaging remarks, but I'm pretty sure all of them are on PEDs because there is.
How dare you talk about my husband's like that?
There's no way to get that jacked naturally. You can eat all the salmon you want. You know what's even more telling? Pull up a picture of The Rock circa now. In his wrestling gear. He was just at the last WrestleMania. Pull up a picture of him from WrestleMania 18 and WrestleMania 32 next to each other. He looks like he ate the old Rock.
I will not have you make disparaging remarks against my husband.
Listen, I love The Rock, but Mr. Dwayne Johnson looks like he ate 19...
Oh, not the... Less so The Rocks, more the three Marvel Chris's.
There's no way that those guys aren't on the gas. 0% chance.
How dare you?
How it's okay. You? I'm question. Just saying.
How dare you?
Because they're definitely on steroids or human growth hormone.
Follow up. Who do you think you are?
Second to third rate podcaster, depending on the week.
How dare you?
So they arm wrestle. He turns the hat, and then they just like wrestle for a whole bunch with the arms.
And then this. And then what looks like you stuck a bike pump into Steve Austin's belly button and pumped him up comes up to his kid and is like,
why are you here with him?
He's my dad? Sorry about that. And then he walks away.
And that's the whole interaction. Well, because that is the entire scene. This is not exaggerated. That is the whole scene between those two characters.
This sweaty, big Steve Austin dude comes up to this tiny little boy, and I was like, is this about to become something I shouldn't watch? Like, is this about to be something that I should turn into the police? Because there are lots of points in this movie where I was like, we are definitely watching a different movie now.
I suddenly feel extremely uncomfortable.
This is a lot bluer than I was expecting.
Side note. I would just like it noted that 30 minutes into the over-the-top podcast, Andrew dropped a wrestling reference.
What?
So you said he looks like Steve Austin. Steve Austin.
It does. He was the only
exactly
person I could
think right.
Of.
I'm not. It's a perfect reference. He looks like a inflated Steve Austin, but it just tickled my funny bone.
Turns out that guy, because I Googled him because I wanted to know who he was. He played one of the Penguin's henchmen in Batman Returns.
Oh, that's...
I think he's the one who explodes.
That he kicks him off that thing and he blows up.
Yeah.
So then we have a guy...
Then they said the title of the movie. They said the title of the movie.
They did. Everybody take a shot. And then we...
They say it a lot in this one.
They super do. And then we run into a guy who looks like Star-Lord.
Yeah,
he
does.
He has the jacket.
He does.
Speaking of Chris Pratt.
I want that jacket.
Well, it's probably $1 billion.
I know.
We have this radio fight into what might be a drug dealer.
The kid and him argue, and then the kid calls him a drug dealer. Okay.
Because he has mysterious amounts of cash just like strewn about his truck.
No, because his grandfather told him he was a drug dealer.
Oh, that's right. And then we cut to Logia.
He was
hospital.
Like, your dad's... Yeah, his dad... He goes, grandfather says you're a drug dealer. Do you still do that? And he's like, there's a lot of things your grandfather says about me that aren't true, kid. Let's just leave it at that. Because to his credit, this grandfather shits all over everything, and Stallone never once, like, fires back in front
nope,
of the kid.
The whole time is, yes, sir, thank you, sir, may I have another?
He's like, I just, that's not necessarily true. or something along those lines. And it's like, dude, if that were me, I would be, like, losing my mind.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's incredibly, incredibly insensitive. It's your kid, for crying out loud. So then we got, yeah.
Yeah, his weird thumb move or, like, adjusting.
I'm so glad you talked about this. I don't have it until later, but it's, there's no way that's legal.
He does it every fight. There has to not, I mean, I don't have my copy of the arm wrestling champion rule book in front of me. It's in my other house.
It's the 80s. We got to get WWF on the horn and call Commissioner Jack Tunney to see if he knows anything about it. But
that's got to be frowned upon.
There's
right?
no way. So to describe it, if you were to clasp your hands together and hold them in front of you, he then like lifts two of his fingers and twists his hand around. So it would be from if you grip your hands together and then twist and wrap your index and middle finger of your hand around the thumb on the other side. It's weird, one, and two, there's no way you're allowed to like wiggle your hand out and re-grip around the person in the middle of an arm wrestle.
And kind of break their
yeah.
thumb.
There's no way that's legal. We should have consulted one of those professional arms race guys on AMC, see if we could get one of them to chime in. If you're out there, Twitter, I'm sure one of you out there is a professional arm wrestler. Hit us up at Dissectomania.
Yeah, right?
There's no way that's a legal move. You're 100% right. There's no way, no way that that's legal. But he does the whole movie. It's a secret. He has two secret weapons. One, turning the hat back, and two, blatantly cheating. So Robert Loggia is at the hospital with his very ill daughter, the kid's mom, and Stallone's ex-wife, maybe? Or just baby mama? It's never really established.
I think they're separated. Okay.
And then we get, perhaps...
He's like, find them.
Yeah, but do you know who he says that to? Do you recognize our mulleted friend with the goatee?
I feel like I should know him now, the way
he
you say that.
He was in Roadhouse. It's professional wrestler Terry Funk, ladies and gentlemen, making his second appearance
really?
On the show. That's right. Crazy like a fox, Terry Funk, who later gets thrown through a plate glass window, and it is glorious.
No, because, okay, that scene also, I had things I wanted to happen, but didn't happen. I'll get to it. We'll get to it.
So we got the Funker in the mix, who I think he says two words in this whole movie, which is a major disappointment for me.
Well, he repeats them a lot, though.
Which is?
He says, Mr. It's not Custer, is it?
Hold on.
It's definitely not Custer, but it's similar. Custler?
Cutler.
Cutler. Mr. Cutler is talking to you. Pretty much all he says. Those four words.
Yeah, so it's not peak Terry Funk, unfortunately. But he is in here, perhaps for the last time on this podcast, unfortunately.
Just bit-bat-bopping around.
So they're driving the truck across the country, and it's getting late.
Also, Robert Loggia and his daughter have...
It's
a very
really
weird,
uncomfortable.
Like, reverse... It's like a reverse gender, reverse Oedipus complex going on. Like, he super wants to bone his daughter.
It's a reverse Marty McFly.
And he super wants to have, like, he wants to have, like, have children with her.
Wait.
And he phrases it that way. And it is weird.
Wait, so maybe it's not a reverse Marty McFly. Maybe it's just a standard Lorraine, whatever her name was before it was McFly.
It's a reverse gender.
Reverse gender, but not a reverse, because she wants to bang her, what she doesn't know is her son.
So yes. But he knows it's his daughter.
Well, yeah, everybody knows it. There's no time travel to explain away this paradox here. Yeah. It's just a creepy old Loggia. By the way, like, Robert Loggia is one of those people like Michael Caine who just like hit age 80 when he turned a certain age and stayed there for the rest of time.
Yeah.
Because Robert Loggia in this movie looks the same as he did in everything I ever saw him in. Just very, very old.
Well, it's like that or
he
like...
He just died. It was like, this movie is 30 years old and he looks the same.
But it's like when I watch The Golden Girls, I'm like, oh, that's what old women look like. And then I see Betty White now and I'm like, oh, God. It's been like 40
yeah,
years.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's unbelievable how like she's a perfect example of just like, this is what I look like for the rest of ever.
So he wants to bone his daughter, clearly, and then he sends his goons out like helicopter or whatever to find them.
So they're driving cross country in the truck, and the kid's like, it's getting late, we should go to sleep. And Sloane's like, okay. And he just pulls the truck over and turns it off. He doesn't even...
And the kid's like, there's no hotels. And he's like, yeah, we're sleeping in the truck.
He doesn't even have a sleeper cab. Like...
I know!
Like,
I know.
That seems horrible.
And then it turns into the creepiest... This is the second time that I was like, did I watch something else now? Because he's like, if your neck gets tired, you can use my shoulder as a pillow. And like, okay, sure, say it once. He goes on for like four more lines about how nice it would be if I have his son lay on his shoulder like a pillow.
One, you haven't showered and you are very sweaty.
Two, neither have I.
Three, why don't you have an actual pillow if you sleep in the truck all the time?
Four, this is the first time this is the most time I've spent with you since I've been born.
And five, how on earth do you normally sleep in this truck on a regular basis? The seats don't recline.
I think he lays down. I think he lays down, usually.
He'd have to curl up like a cat. He's a very large man.
I know, but yeah. Because there's no like center console in a big rig.
I guess, but his workout equipment is between the seats.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't know how he's possibly doing that. Since we mentioned it, we'll just jump ahead to the next scene where they're, like, working out and...
Oh, you mean their gay porn exercise?
Yes, I do mean that very much.
I was like, this is daddy swap. This is all of a sudden now, like, daddy swap. Or something weird.
Do I want to know what that is?
I said daddy and a verb. And that was probably the best verb that could have come out.
Okay, just checking. He has a one-arm pull-down machine.
Daddy coach, I guess, would have been a better. No, because it's not just that. It's them, like, in front of the truck as the sun is rising, doing, like, calisthenics, like Pooh Bear
that's
calisthenics.
That's right, they're doing jumping jacks and stuff. I forgot about that part.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's all set to sexy sax music. And I mean that in both ways.
This is back-to-back episodes just full of sexy sax.
Yeah, and they're doing, like I said, they're doing Pooh Bear calisthenics to sexy sax.
Describe that for anybody who's
rising
not familiar.
Like, when Pooh Bear wakes up in the morning and he, like, reaches his arms like a starfish and then does his right arm to his left leg, but he's so pudgy he doesn't quite make it. it's just gentle, like, calisthenics.
And then they get in the truck and start doing the aggressive calisthenics where he's got a one-arm pull-down machine.
I mean, well, it's got to be lonely. He's got to work to make sure that one arm's in tip-top shape.
Right, but he also does the exercise really strangely where he's, like, contorting his whole body, so he's not really working out his arm at all.
And then he's like, you're right, your whole body into it. And I was like, isn't that not what you're supposed to do? Like, shouldn't this be an isolation exercise?
I don't know a whole lot about working out, but what I do know says that that's probably not the correct way to do that.
Right.
And then we get some...
And then we do get the cool, he rips the other sleeve off the military jacket, and I was like, that's a cool look.
Yeah,
I'm into it.
Sort of like
I'm living for this look
hipster,
right now.
Hipster military chic somewhere in there.
Yeah, right.
And then they decide to do some actual bonding now, and so he starts teaching the kid how to drive the truck, and the kid.
Except it's not bonding. The kid calls him dumb, so he's like, "Okay, drive the fucking truck, you piece of shit."
Okay, I guess it's true. It turns into bonding, doesn't it?
It does. Okay. Except he lets an 11-year-old, 12-year-old, whatever we decided, drive a big rig with zero experience on a real road.
Like, there's no other...
Like, a road humans are
there's
on.
There's no other cars in sight, but still, not an ideal thing. And the kid obviously has trouble driving it because, duh, and he's like...
Because his little legs don't reach the pedals.
So he keeps, like, clutching and stalling, and he finally, like, turns to Sloane, who looks at him, like, with love in his heart, and is like, it's okay, I always wanted to be a milkshake.
You wrote that line, Sloane. I know you wrote that line.
I think he wrote it that day in the truck. Inspiration struck.
It was just improv?
Yeah. So then suddenly he's like legitimately driving down. It's not like, okay, you drove a little bit, get out and then like actually drive. He's like, yeah, go ahead, take it. You got it from here, kid. And just like,
and then he tells his kid to smile. And when people tell me to, hearing someone tell someone to smile always makes me angry.
Well, yes, it's gross, but I guess dad to son, not as bad as random douche nozzle on the street.
I don't care. Don't tell me to smile. Don't dictate when I'm happy about things.
I mean, it's a...
Because you just made me not happy about something.
I mean, he did just teach him how to drive, and they did calisthenics together. I mean, I feel like that makes up for 12 years of never having met before.
Sure, I guess.
So they go to another diner, and this time the kid gets into a confrontation about arm wrestling. And so the kid...
No, Stallone puts him into it.
But the kid obviously loses, like, instantaneously. So they go outside and they have a pep talk, and somehow, magically, that makes the kid good at arm wrestling.
But here's the thing, Stallone. Like, I get what you wanted to teach your son. Maybe let's have that conversation before the arm wrestling match. Like, he says, I know, like, you've been handed everything in your life because you're a little rich bitch. Like, you need to learn how to lose, and it's only important is the way you lose. Like, do it gracefully. And I'm like, yeah, buddy, but you could have said all of this before you sent him into the lion's den.
Sure, yeah. And also, pep talks don't make you magically stronger, I'm pretty sure.
No, they don't.
I mean, maybe that's his third superpower? We've got the hat, and this, and whatever the hell the other thing I said was.
I was going to say, you definitely said hat and something else. And I don't remember what the something else was. And then he teaches the kid the grip shit.
Yeah, which again, there's no way that's not cheating. None.
And then while Stallone's talking to his wife on the phone, or his ex-wife, whatever the hell she is, his kid gets kidnapped.
By a couple of goons, like you do.
So he punches a few out and then decides to hop in his big rig and slam into the car.
I mean, to be fair, that's not the worst strategy.
Okay, we're hearkening back to BMX Bandits, where the kids were just, like, on the roof of the truck, and like, you're licked now. No, you're not. You're soup now.
Three bags of soup coming right up.
Like, his kid, A, was not fighting hard enough. Like, if you're being kidnapped, fight back, kid. Don't be a little bitch.
For a kid
bitch.
Who spent 3 years at military academy or however the hell long, feels like he didn't get a lot of training in physical exercise.
I would have fought better than that, and I'm me.
Which, for people who don't know, a tiny...
Picture a piece of spaghetti.
Fairly weak.
Picture a piece of wet spaghetti.
Four noodles attached to one meatball.
it's two noodles threaded through a rigatoni.
There you go. That's the mental image. And they kind of flop around.
They wiggle.
So he, like... They have a crash, and he like pulls the kid out of the car from the assailants, and then they get back on the road, and the assailants just like that's their end for the day.
They just run away. But how do they? Isn't that the truck that they drove there? Like, where are they going?
Right, it's not really a logical move.
You're just gonna run. I feel like you're not getting far.
But I guess he doesn't chase them, so they're fine.
I mean, unless you're finding one of those Howard the Duck.
That's
planes. True.
They do just tend to leave those behind gas stations in the 80s, so maybe they got lucky.
Yeah.
And then they finally get to the hospital, and oops, mom's dead.
No, we get the scene first where the grandfather's like, I want my son, or I want my grandson. Get me a lawyer. And the lawyer's like, I am a lawyer, and no jury in the world is going to take a kid away from his son, from his father, and give him to his grandfather. And Robert Loggia is like, you're an
idiot. I have
idiot.
Money. Doesn't like, that make things happen for me?
And they're like, I mean, generally, yes. But in this case, no, sir.
Like, he's a truck driver.
He has a father. He has a father who somehow has money to support him.
But he's just a truck driver.
You can't just have him.
I have money. You can't just have him. Don't you understand? I have money. He's a truck driver. It's human filth.
Yeah, he was very much the dad in Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Lots of...
Of the dad of the rich girl.
No, except no military bullets. Sadly.
No, the rich girl. The dad rich. The rich girl's dad never had military bullets.
Oh, Sarah Jessica Parker's dad had military bullets. The ice sculpture dad.
Yeah,
ice sculpture dad. Okay, yes. So then we get to the hospital and oops, mom's dead.
I only saw that coming because I read Wikipedia.
Oh, I knew that was coming from the second she was in the hospital. But also it has no emotional impact because we don't know her that well.
No, and Sly's face looks like a Botox nightmare.
Which is pre-Botox, so an impressive feat.
So they're cutting between Stallone's, like, rubber face and the little kid's actually emoting face for, like, five before the kid runs away.
It's a crying child and then a statue. And then a crying child and then a statue. And then a crying child and then a houseplant. I mean, whoops, a statue.
A rubber mask. I mean.
And so the kid's like, I'm leaving. And he runs away and he gets in a cab and is like, take me to my rich grandpa.
He says, take me to my estate in Bel Air.
Is that really the line?
That is the direct line. Take me to my estate in Bel Air.
And then as he drives away, he's like, yo, Sly, smell you later.
Yeah, right? He throws a $100 bill at him and is like, wipe your tears, idiot.
I'm off to meet up with Chazzy Jeff.
Uncle Phil is not going to be happy with me.
No more b-ball outside the school for me.
Dance for me.
Then
funeral.
Yes, funeral on the beach.
We're still on... It's not on the beach, is it? It looks like it was in a graveyard. Like a regular graveyard.
Then they're on the beach, aren't they?
Yeah, but Stallone walks up with flowers while the priest is talking, lays them down, looks at the kid, and looks at the grandfather, and then just walks away from the funeral.
He would be less interrupting if he turned on, like, Lady Gaga and danced into the middle of the scene.
Or if he, like, slipped on his tap shoes and got on the casket and did, like, a soft shoe.
Or pulled out his rhinestone cowboy outfit, brought out Dolly Parton, and danced behind the pastor as he started doing his service.
The two of them do 9 to 5.
Yeah. That would be less distracting than the way he enters this funeral. It's so weird.
He's wearing, like, a black leather shirt, it looks like.
Because he clearly doesn't own any real clothes. Like, this whole movie, he's wearing jeans and
I'm surprised
t-shirt.
He had sleeves.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a sleeveless suit jacket. Like, sleeveless with just, like, a bow tie. Like, a real Chippendale situation going on is what I wanted it to be.
He looks like Swayze and that.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, Swayze and Farley. And then he just, like, solemnly walks on a beach.
And is like, I have resolve now. I want my son
back.
It's
a collecting your thoughts montage, I guess.
This movie has so many... Like, it's montage overload.
It's not as bad as Rocky IV.
There's at least 7.
Yeah, but it's not as bad as Rocky IV.
To me, this movie feels like one continuous montage.
Rocky IV is legitimately 40% montage, so it's pretty tough to beat
that.
So
is this movie. I would argue this movie is, too.
Maybe. It's less... set to music than Rocky IV is, so maybe that's why it doesn't feel as montage-y to me. Because it's not like the strong desire with like punching and waiting.
Gotta go over the top. Over the top. You gotta go over the top.
I like how you're doing over the top to the same beat as Baby Come Back.
yeah, there it was. I knew it was a song.
The idea that it's like this really tender love song, like, don't leave me, come back to me, but it's just sweaty Stallone arm wrestling people.
Over the top. Over the top. Over the top.
Oh, man. So... he goes
over the top, over the top, over the top.
At this point, he goes from, like, pensively collecting his thoughts on the beach.
Wait, I have one more. You can edit him out.
I'm not going to edit him out. Go ahead.
Dun, dun, dun. Over the top. Dun, 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 dun. Over the top, over the top, over the top. Golden Girls.
Thank you for gripping my arm.
Ba-na-na-na.
Thank you for teaching me that cheating technique.
Your arm is true. You're an arm and an arm.
No, your grip is strong. You're over the top.
There Nailed you go. It. Nailed it.
Let's move on from the singing portion of the evening. He goes from pensively strolling on the beach to driving his truck at high speed through the security gate into the estate.
No, through the security gate, through the fountain, through the front door. You're downplaying.
It's like an explosion of house bits.
And here's the thing. I know Stallone, you're supposed to be a moron, kind of. But at this point, you can bring charges of kidnapping against
your
grandfather.
Yep, super can. Super duper can.
So maybe just don't do whatever you're thinking of doing with your truck. Maybe we'll get a lawyer. Yes, it's going to be like a state lawyer. But at the end of the day, you have a case. He is kidnapping your son.
Instead, what you've now done is committed a crime very visibly.
And like, yeah, the kid clearly wants to be with you because he's fighting for you. But now there's a truck in his living room.
Right. So Terry Funk grabs Stallone without ever throwing a punch, which is really disappointing. And Stallone gets arrested. And,
duh.
Well, yeah. So then we cut to Stallone in prison and the lawyer guy coming in and...
The secretary. It's not even the lawyer.
Oh, and like...
It's the grandfather's secretary.
But here's the problem I have, right? So we're about an hour into this hour and a half long movie. And while we know that Loggia didn't like Stallone, we never got an explanation for why Stallone left.
Never.
And
we still don't.
We
really.
Never do. But at this point in the movie, why are we rooting for Stallone?
I think because we see he's not an asshole and we see the grandfather is an
asshole.
Right,
but like, dollar for dollar, the kid has a better life hanging with rich-ass Robert Loggia and going to military school, doesn't he?
And that's what the kid says.
Right, and it's like,
the
kid is the audience at that point.
The kid even says, he goes, "You're not a bad guy, I can see that, but where are we gonna go? Because, like, you have a truck to your name and that's it.
And you're pretty good at
this
arm wrestling.
This dude's clearly got... my grandfather's clearly got at least four houses.
Yeah.
And you know he's got mistresses.
Right, and he's got less than 25 years left on his life, so, like, I'm going to be in pretty good shape. This is relatively short.
That's what the second act should have been. It should have been, we're going to wait out Grandpa to die. I'm going to slowly poison him. And then when I get his money, I'll come live with you.
Perfect.
Cool.
Yeah, I would watch that movie.
I want to see that movie now.
Let's cut that out and write it. Add it to the pile.
Yeah.
So he agrees to leave, takes the... Did they give him some hush money? No, he didn't take the hush money, but they offered
it. I don't think they gave him any money. They just said, if you leave the state and don't press any charges, if you leave the state and don't claim custody, we won't press charges for you running a truck into our house.
So he leaves, drives to Caesar's Palace in Vegas. But first, a quick stop to hawk the truck for
7K. Yep.
And then he's like, I'd like to keep the hawk. And the guy's like, I'm going to turn this into scrap metal. I don't care. So he takes the giant hawk off the front, which is like roughly the size of
ornament.
It's like roughly the size of a beach chair, I think.
It's kind of the size of like a collectible Barbie, like a big collectible Barbie.
It's enormous. Like if you put it on a necklace, you would instantly be Flavor Flav.
I think you'd be broken neck Flavor Flav.
Yeah, you definitely would. So he takes this $7,000 that his truck is worth, places a big bet on himself to win this arm wrestling tournament.
Which is super not okay, right?
You know, I don't know what the legality is of betting on yourself for an arm wrestling tournament. Because, like, in a real sport, you cannot gamble on yourself.
That's what I mean in real sports.
I don't know what the rules are of this arm wrestling federation. Because it seems more like a contest, so I don't really know what the rules are for things like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, it definitely is a gray area, right? He could have bet on himself to lose, although it wouldn't have been as big of a money-making bet, and then intentionally lost.
That's what I was thinking the whole time. I was thinking that. Because I know, like I said, real sports, you can't
do that.
No,
you definitely cannot.
Hang on.
Although I did just hear, although perhaps not sanctioned, I did just listen to a podcast talking about the World Series of Poker, and two guys, what players often do is like trade a stake in their winnings. So, like, you and I trade 5%. So, like, if I get knocked out early and you're still in it, I can still make some money. And it ended up being the two guys who won the tournament had each traded a stake in each other's winnings. So they ended up, they ended up getting a piece of each other's pie that way. So maybe arm wrestling follows similar rules. But again, there's no rules set up at any point for any of these arm wrestling competitions. The only rule that gets said in this whole movie is it's a round robin tournament. You have to lose twice.
And I was like, okay, stop saying we have to lose twice because we know he's going
to
lose
But
once.
Also, doesn't that just make it really confusing to follow narratively? Wouldn't it make so much more sense to make this a standard-ass regular single elimination tournament?
Yes, but then you can't get the down to the wire, he's lost once, is he going to lose again moment.
I don't know. Maybe have him like think his arm is broken or something. You seem to be doing like a lot of math. What is happening over there?
It's
you
look not
like
math.
Your computer
it's...
is broken. And by your computer, I mean your mind grapes.
Hang on. Arm Wrestling Awareness Committee of America, the world, all continents around. A waka waka.
What is the...
They're going to be...
What is the context?
I was going to say, like...
out of nowhere, Fozzie Bear joke you just took 4 minutes to set up while I tried to make other jokes?
I was trying to think of a joke because we keep calling arm wrestling not a real sport. And I was like, oh, you know these arm wrestling people are going to be on our ass.
Oh, you mean big arm wrestling is just going to come after us.
Yeah, exactly. The lobbyists.
The arm wrestle lobby. They're very powerful from what I understand. I live near Washington. I should know.
Mm-hmm. But only on one side.
There you go. They only lobby one side of the aisle.
Ah.
That was better than your 19-minute... intro to your terrible Fozzie Bear joke that was just a mess.
I know.
You can't go fast and loose, kid. You gotta play within the boundaries of the game. No.
Well, I was thinking of what was it, the farmers, the National Association of Farmers or something we came up with one time.
Which I don't remember the episode.
I don't remember either. Someone listening, tell us.
Let's move on before I have to take 9 hours to edit this out, because I'm definitely leaving you withering on the vine trying to come up with that dumb joke in there for everybody to hear, just so you know.
Please put it at the end. Make it
no, it's going right here before the big act, third act of this movie is you.
No, but I miss the stingers.
We have them sometimes.
Not often.
Well, we don't make those kind of mistakes as much anymore because we got a little better at our job.
So he bets $7,000 on himself, right. Does his
thing.
The
kid finds these letters that he's been writing to him. It's like a real, the love movie. I wrote you every day for actually? A year.
Oh, the notebook. The notebook.
It's like, come on here. So Stallone had literally looked like he'd been writing this kid every day for 12 years. The kid pulls out like 400 boxes worth of letters that have been stashed in his house.
And here's the thing, Robert Loggia. This is where Andrew's other side comes out. You need to burn the letters.
Oh, I assumed,
if you're going to do this,
I assumed the mom kept
commit
them.
To it. Well, then why was the mom hiding them from him?
I assumed that he tried to throw them away and she kept saving them, but she didn't want the kid to get the letters because then her dad would kick her out and she was dying of cancer.
Okay, either way, then Robert Loggia, don't throw them in the trash. Burn them.
Yeah, you're right.
Go whole hog. Commit to this. If you don't want your grandson to find out anything about his father, you burn the letters and you hide everything. You burn everything.
And then 10 or 20 years down the road, he'll be famous and doing one of those weird Who Are Your Ancestors shows on TV and do like a cheek swab and find out. Oh, it was Sweaty Stallone.
Yeah. And that's fine. But if he had burned the letters, we wouldn't have this third act, and Stallone probably would have lost the truck. And, that's the movie.
So the kid is like, I gotta get to Vegas. So he steals a car, because now he knows how to drive. That was, for those of you who are not keeping score at home, that is an official Chekhov's Learning How to Drive, which I believe is a first in cinema history.
Yeah, at least on the show. Definitely the first on the show.
And then... there's a terrible song that plays while he drives, which is just more of the terrible music. You know, Stallone normally has delightfully cheeseball songs in his movies, you know, like, over the top. But instead, it's just, this one doesn't have that hang in there like those. The kid's driving the car, he gets up to the airport, and he pulls that classic movie, you can't park here, keep it! And he throws the keys at them. Which is hilarious until you remember that, like, the car has a title and a name on it, so pretty sure they would just charge you for whatever happened.
I would think so. Now, is this where Stallone and his son get super gay again, or did we miss saying that earlier?
What did
where he says, I have something in me that I want to give to you.
I don't remember that bit. Sorry.
Yeah, no, Stallone definitely says, I have something in me that I want to give you.
Are you sure?
Yes. I don't know when he says it in the movie.
Are you sure he doesn't say?
But he says.
Sure he doesn't say, I think there's something inside me that I want to give to you.
Either way.
I'm just saying, it's funnier if you do the stupid voice to it.
Daddy Swap.
I don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable. That two-word phrase is wildly unsettling to me.
Daddy Coach?
All of it is bad. It's just all bad. Everything you're talking about is like some weird, deep, dark corner of the internet that I would prefer to know, not know of existing.
Daddy's Boy.
All of it. All of it can stay hidden away.
You're a daddy's boy.
Everybody,
daddy loves his baby, and his baby loves him.
Everybody's
too.
Allowed to do whatever they want as long as they're not hurting other people, but I just don't necessarily need to know about all of it, is what I'm saying.
I made a Kimmy Schmidt reference the last time.
I know you did. So then we get a montage of arm wrestling that just goes on way too long. It just all these people who we don't know arm wrestling each other, and then Stallone wrestling for a little while.
Like, guys, take a cue from Rocky IV.
Right.
Turn this into a 3-second montage of things flying by the screen over a dark.
And then we get, after the montage, we get this obscenely long explanation from a guy who's like, just to remember, here's what we're playing for. And he, like, runs through double elimination for, like, the 19th time. And then he's like, and the prize is $100,000 and also a brand new semi-truck. I don't think any competition anywhere has ever given away a semi-truck. Who is that helpful for?
Not even a semi-truck driving competition.
That is the one audience where that is an acceptable prize.
I'm watching this like, what the heck? Also, there is a hawk painted on the side of the truck.
I didn't notice that. That's really stupid.
Yeah, there's a hawk painted on the side of the truck. And so the grandfather comes to him and is like, come to my suite. And they get up there to the presidential suite, and he goes, I hear you've already lost one, you stupid idiot. Here's some money to leave. And he goes outside, takes him to the balcony, and I was like, dude, you are very trusting that Stallone isn't going to push you off
the balcony.
I thought
there was going to be a total Suge Knight situation. Like, I was sure someone was getting dangled over a balcony.
I was waiting for Batman. And so, because he points at the truck, and then Terry Funk is, like, watching from the other side of the glass, and I was like, Stallone, just... one swift punch, and old man goes crumbling over the edge. It'll be like Mother Gothel entangled. He'll just disintegrate before he hits the bottom.
I think I need to tell people, since we're talking about Terry Funk a bunch, that they should go on YouTube and search Terry Funk Dean Ambrose, AMBROSE, because there was a delightfully insane segment the two of them shot at a bar in Philly a couple weeks back. For WrestleMania, that was just bananas. That involves 80-something-year-old Terry Funk and this young wrestler, and it's just the whole thing is a delight. And you should find it and watch it, everybody out there. It's like 3 minutes. It's not too long. You'll live. And no, the 80-year-old doesn't fight, but you kind of want to see it.
I want to see him fight.
If you want to see him fight for real, he still wrestles, and I would totally go to that with you. That really happened like a couple months ago. He and another 80, Jerry Lawler, who's also like 80, and fought Andy Kaufman back in the day, had a legit wrestling match.
I believe
he's,
you.
He's like
I'm
80.
Sure it's true.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, let's talk about something else.
So, yeah, he doesn't push grandfather over the ledge. Instead, he punches Terry Funk through a plate glass window.
Which is a great, great Terry Funk thing. It was nice to see him actually do some physical action stuff, finally.
So then Stallone gets back down there. The kid weaves his way through the crowd, avoids Terry Funk, who somehow got back up real quick, and finds his dad.
Yeah, and they have like a big sweet moment before the big fight. And also, there's...
it's our time. Our time in here.
And there's some great announcer stuff, too. Like, they basically have these guys cutting wrestling promos where they're like, I'm going to beat every last one of these guys.
Yeah, the weird talking
yes.
heads.
But at one point, an announcer says of the big bad guy, he drives the truck, breaks arms, and arm wrestles. And then the guy, like...
No, that... he says that. Hey. He says, I drive trucks, break arms, and arm wrestle. It's what I'm good at. It's what I love doing.
That's Stallone's line?
No, it's not Stallone. It's the bad guy. But the bad guy says it of himself.
Yeah. And then he says, second sucks.
Yeah.
Also... the one main bad guy looks like Soda Popinski from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, in case anyone is familiar with that particular Nintendo game. He totally does.
He does.
Soda Popinski fights just some random dude, and then it's Rocky versus this guy who kind of looks like Apollo Creed a little bit. He's got the red, white, and blue going on. And then we finally get to our finals where it's Rocky, well, Hawk, rather, who has one loss, and Soda Popinski who has...
Hockey.
Hockey with the one loss. And Soda Popinski, who has none. And so the power of being told that his child loved him leads him to having a big
win,
I guess. At one point, their arms slip, and they have this, like, dramatic, like, we gotta pull out the strap! And they have to, like, they strap their arms together, and it's played as this big dramatic thing, but it's the first time we've ever seen it in the movie, so I have no idea if it has any drama to it.
And also, the strap looks, like, really ornate.
Yes.
It looks like a kind of, like, something that you would wear in the Hunger Games as a bracelet. But instead, it's two people wear it to get strapped together by the arms.
It's real stupid. Real, real stupid.
So when they get strapped together, the other dude, I guess the inflated...
Soda Popinski.
Steve Austin. Yeah, Soda Popinski. slams the hands forward into Stallone's nose. And they're just like, ha-ha, oops.
So Stallone gets a little stung. And then they go to slow-mo so he can do his, like, thumb re-grippy deal. Beats him. And
of course,
and then beats him again. I don't remember the yeah, he beat him twice?
No, I think it's just the one time.
So Soda Popinski hadn't lost yet. So did they just like break the rules, or was the final single elimination for no reason whatsoever?
Probably the second one.
Okay, I'm glad that I didn't notice that until now, because oh boy, is that stupid.
I didn't notice that either until you mentioned it.
Soda Popinski, when they get there, is like, he hasn't lost yet in the tournament, and then he loses once, and that's it. That doesn't seem super fair.
I guess. I mean, when you aren't the good guy of the movie.
So we have ponytail ref and long hair ref, like, raising Stallone's arms, and a terrible song starts playing, and the kid comes in the ring, and they dance around and jump for joy, and then freeze frame credits. Thank God this is over.
Except not credits. There's one more 5-second scene of the kid and the kid and Stallone talking about just opening Hawk and Sons truck driving company.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, the completely unnecessary scene.
Well, to be fair, now they have a truck and $100,000. What else would you possibly use those two things for?
I don't. The scene didn't have to be there.
I guess it's true. But maybe Stallone felt like he didn't get enough gravitas in.
Fair enough.
So would you recommend this movie?
Yeah, but I wouldn't... That's not a hard recommend.
Really? I'm surprised. I thought you would say absolute no. Because this was a maybe-ish to me.
I mean, it's. I'm not going to say, like, seek it out, but if... I mean, it's on Netflix. If you don't have anything else to watch, like, you burned through Kimmy Schmidt, you might as well.
There's obviously... We've watched worse, but it wasn't as a goofy...
Yeah, it's not offensive. Right.
It's not as fun as Roadhouse, though.
Or Teen Witch.
Right. It's nowhere near as fun as either of those movies. We should do everybody's favorite segment.
By God!
Hot tag taglines. Hot tag tagline.
Over the top. Daddy Swap.
Oh, I hate you so much. I wish you were dead. Over the top. Or, sorry. Hot tag taglines. Over the top.
Turn the hat around. It's like a switch.
This movie is average at best, but...
Yeah. Watch Teen Witch before you watch this. If you're going to watch anything we watch that's on Netflix, watch Teen Witch first.
Agreed. Or Roadhouse if it's still there.
Oh, I forgot Roadhouse was on Netflix.
That about does it for us, but before we go...
Or watch Ghost. Or just watch Ghost.
All right. I think there is plenty of back catalog for people to get through if they want to find out other movies that we liked. You don't have to keep shouting them. If you want to get a hold of us, you want a little bit more, facebook.com/dissectingthe80s.
Instagram.com/dissectingthe80s or dissectingthe80s on the app.
Twitter.com/dissectomania. A little bit different there. I'm pretty active on there, so if you ever have a question, want to get a hold of us, episode recommendations, all that fun stuff can be found on Twitter. And we also have dissectingthe80s.com, which has everything you'd ever want to know about us. It has the Hall of Fame. It has the episode guides, some little tidbits about us, things like that. Would you like to give the folks a clue for our next episode?
Ironically, Lynn's Man Crush Minute will not be featured next episode.
Well, until then,
don't you forget about me.
Dissecting the 80s is a Chum Some of This production.
Also, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I just want to give it a second, and then I can cut around it. Just wait, and then say your thing.
Lynn's Man Crush Minute will not be featured next month. Week. Next time.